Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Landon Tangwall. Landon, of course, now is the host of the Behind the Wall podcast. Landon, how has that been going? I've seen some of them. They're fantastic.
Yeah, Jim, it's been a good time. I've really enjoyed it, getting some of the guys on, showcasing their personalities. And by the time this one comes out, my eating calorie challenge with Anthony Donka at Chick-fil-A will be out. So if you want to check that out, go over to Behind the Wall, Landon Tangwall on YouTube. Check it out. It's good. We have some fun. We give you some behind-the-scenes stuff. And you get to see the players' personalities and kind of take you behind the scenes a little bit. So it's a good time and really enjoyed it.
Okay, here's my question to you. You and I have gone out to eat several times. We have lunch, dinner, and all that. How do you think I would have done in that competition?
I've seen you put away a lot of food before, Jim. So, I mean, I don't know if you're getting up there with the O-line, but I don't know. You are a grade A eater, man. You can put away some food.
Pound for pound, I can
yeah, handle it. Yeah. We might need to get you a cheesesteak competition. I don't know.
We'll have to give that a shot, which leads to the great segue. Our show today is brought to you by our friends at F45 Training in State College. And now, especially that the students are gone, it's a great opportunity to hit the gym. F45. It gives you the benefits of a private trainer in a class environment, and exclusively for our Keystone Sports Network listeners, JR over there is offering a special deal where you get 2 weeks free classes, and the 2 weeks begins the first class that you take. This is running through May 21st. Really something you should try out. And by the way, Landon, you and I hit the gym this past week. Essentially, JR was giving us, you know, a private class, just the two of us. And now that we have all of our Keystone Sports Network listeners here, I need you to admit it. I schooled you at the gym, did I not?
Jim, look, I meant to check up on you afterwards because I figured you might be dying. Your hammies are tight. You're past. You look pretty tired after, but Jim, he got me. He got me in the sled push. But we won't talk about how much weight was on each one. He might have had a couple plates off of me, but that's all right.
I do have to admit, you did have a couple more pounds, just a couple more, Landon, a little bit on yours. And it's fantastic. We videoed it all, so we'll be getting that out soon enough. You'll want to check it out again. You want to make sure you catch the part where I schooled Landon. Absolutely schooled him. That was one for the old guys. Should we mention that afterwards we went right over to Campus Steaks for a cheesesteak, Landon?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Jim felt he put in enough work to the point he said, hey, I think I deserve a cheesesteak right now. So we went over at about 11 a.m. for some cheesesteaks.
Well, Landon, you have to have balance in your life, okay? The yin and yang, the workout, the cheesesteak, it all works, all right? Let's move on, Landon. It's an interesting time of year right now. Classes are done. We've done this before. We've talked about what the players do throughout the year. I thought it'd be interesting to talk about what the players are doing now. Well, first of all, explain to me the schedule. Are they home? Are they on campus? When do workouts start again? Where are we in the schedule for the players?
Yeah, so after the spring game ended in mid-April, you had those 2 weeks left where school was still going. So there was some lifting, and that is where you get that max testing done, where you do where you do max bench press, max squat, you do your 40 numbers. You do all the combine testing, your 5-10-5, vertical, all that stuff. So they get all that done after spring ball in that back end of April. And then after you have that first week of May is kind of finals week where you have off, you have time to study for your finals. But if you don't have finals, you are able to go home that first week of May. And then you have the whole month of May off as a football player. So this is easily the most time you get off in your whole year. You don't get much time off playing college football, so it is it's the May is one of the favorite times of all the guys. And then guys do different things. Some guys go home and they train. Some guys go on vacation. Something that I did last year that the team put together was a trip to Guatemala, where you team up with this nonprofit called Souls for Souls, and they provide these croc. They're kind of like Crocs, but you take, they bring, you know, thousands of shoes down to whatever destination you guys are going to. Last year, we went to Guatemala, and we gave out over 1,500 pairs of shoes to kids down there. The group this time went down to the Dominican Republic, and they're handing out shoes. I think it's a good group. It's a Catron Allen, Nick Singleton, Denai Dennis Sutton, Jerry Cross, Zane Durant. It's a bunch of good guys down there helping out. So, you know, cool opportunities to do stuff like that in the month of May. But majority of the guys are home. They're training. They're on vacation. So kind of that time, you know, NFL players get that three, almost 4 months to go on vacation and hang out. We get about 3 weeks, but the guys try to take advantage of it and kind of relax the body, because as much as you do want to make sure, you know, you're pushing your body to the limits, you have to have that time off to relax a little bit and allow your body to recoup after a long season and then right into spring ball. So that the body needs time to relax. So that's kind of all the guy. They're enjoying that time right now and getting their feet back under them and get back for summer. And you hit the ground running with Chuck Losey and the strength crew.
We'll get to that in a moment. But if you don't mind sharing with our audience, one of my favorite stories, you talked about the trip that you did last year. And one of the young people, well, his feet were too big for any of the shoes that you brought over. Then what happened, if you don't mind sharing that story?
Yeah, so when we were down there, it was actually Mother's Day down there. It wasn't the same. It's not the same Mother's Day that we have here. It's a different time period, which I thought was interesting. But so all the schools were closed on this day, but they opened up one of the schools, and we brought in a ton of kids, and we were handing out shoes. Well, we get towards the end, and then this bigger kid comes by, and I think he's a size, I want to say 12 or 13. And we're looking around. We do not have Crocs in that size. So Dom looks down. Dom DeLuca looks down at his feet, and he says, "Hey, I'm a 12. So he takes the shoes off of his feet and gives them to the kid. And the kid was real happy. He's excited. I think it was some team issued shoes that he had on, some Penn State ones, and the kid, he loved them. And the funny part was, Dom, that was the only pair of sneakers that he really brought. But thankfully, Keaton Ellis had a couple extra pair back at our hotel, so he gave Dom something to wear. But yeah, Dom DeLuca gave the sneakers right off his feet to this kid, because we didn't have the size for him. So that's the type of guys we have around our program, and it's really cool that they allow us to do this type of stuff and give us those type of opportunities, because I'll never forget that. And I think this is something we were doing before 2019. They were taking guys on these types of trips and really giving back to, especially, you know, down there in South America, countries that are struggling a little bit more, and really trying to help those kids out. But now kind of after COVID, getting back on it, and they do a really good job in the player personnel department at Penn State, making sure we have those cool and unique opportunities to go see stuff and really affect people and really help them out. So I know the guys down there are really enjoying it. But if you want to see any pictures and videos, if you go to Penn State Football's Instagram, I think they have 4 or 5 different pictures, videos up from the guys that are currently in Dominican Republic right now. So if you want to see any of that, go check it out. It's really cool to see, and it's nice to see our guys giving back. It's always enjoyable to see, you know, people that have a lot in life helping out and giving back to people that haven't, you know, not as fortunate, but it's exciting.
It's got to be an incredible experience for young people like yourself to be able to experience that. But I love the story about Dom DeLuca taking all the shoes off his feet. It speaks well of him, obviously, but it's also nice, I think, for us fans to hear that kind of thing and understand what kind of young men play for this Penn State football team. It gives you an extra incentive to root for them. I know at this time when college football is all about the portal and NIL, that there are more to these players than just that. Let's get back to this schedule, though. So there's about a month of downtime, and I imagine there are players who pick different ways to use that time. As you said, some are traveling. I'm sure some are just plain recovering. Mm-hmm. But also, if there are players, for example, you had talked to in your evaluation of Abdul Carter making the switch to defensive end, one of the skill sets he has to learn is to be better with his hands. Now, is that the type of thing that, you know, players can take this time to learn something new, to work on technique, to do that type of thing also?
Yeah, this is the time to do that, I'd say. This is where the coaches, you don't really have too much contact with the coaches. They have a little bit of time off. They're out recruiting, handling that business. And, you know, in this month off, you don't have any contact with the coaches. But even after this, it's really limited with your, you know, position coaches. You are really just in there with the strength staff. And you get, you know, you'll have an hour, maybe hour and a half workout. But for the most part, you know, in the month of May when you're free and even into June and July, you have a lot of free time to work on those little technique, those little issues that and those little bugs that you just need to fix up headed into the season. And hand fighting and hand combat is something that you can really work on anywhere. So that you're right. That's exactly something that, for example, Abdul Carter should be doing right now. And I know he's training a lot. I think he's in Philly. If anybody was at the Philly Happy Valley United event the last night, I think there was a big event with Saquon and a bunch of the guys and the coaches were down there. I think Abdul was at that and some of the Philly native guys. So there are also, you know, this also provides a time to do some NIL events and get the coaches and players to different events around the PA area, just because everybody has a little bit more time off. But as far as crafting your skills, yeah, everybody is working hard and gives you a time period to kind of define those skills without having to worry about anything else.
Okay, now just taking this personally, last year it was Guatemala for you. Previous seasons, what did you do during this time off?
Oh, I went home, Jim. I went home to my nana's pool and just hang out, get some good eats back at the crib. That's what everybody enjoys. No shade to State College, but the food there is not exactly up to par in a lot of people's opinion. So I think guys enjoy going home and getting a taste of either their mom's cooking or some of that good food back at home, because I know we have it here in Maryland. So it's always fun to come back.
You know what? I'm not going to be critical of State College food. There's so many fantastic places to go. However, there is nothing like Nana's food. Mom and Nana, That is the best food in the world. All right, that's it for quarter number one, Landon. We'll be right back with a lot more with quarter two.
We've had such a great response to our F45 Training in State College promotion over the last couple weeks. They've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. This is still running through May 21st. For all Keystone Sports Network listeners, you're able to try out F45 Training in State College for 2 weeks free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training in a group class environment. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Landon Tengwall. I'm Jim Galante. We are talking Penn State football. We're talking specifically about how this time of year, what the players are doing during their downtime. And Landon would be remiss not to mention this. This is essentially our Mother's Day edition of the show. So here's your chance to say Happy Mom's Day.
It is. Shout out to all the mothers listening. We got to shout them out. We wouldn't be here without them. And they do a lot for us. And I know I enjoy that cooking too. So we were just talking about it, but there ain't no love like a son's love for his mother's cooking. So I'm always appreciative. My mom's actually sitting right here. So she's enjoying the show live. She's getting a sneak peek. The only one getting a sneak peek to the episode. So definitely shout out, Mom.
All right. Well, say hi to Mom from Jim and from the Keystone Sports audience there, Landon. And you know what? I'm over 60 years old. My mom's been gone for a long time. But I still, to this day, I remember being at college, going home for term break, and literally I would wake up that first morning. I'm in bed and I could smell the food. She's making my favorite breakfast, okay, which, by the way, includes bacon, yes. And you would smell the food upstairs, and it's like, there's nothing like it.
It drifts up to your room, like the cartoons, like the smell, and you wake up, and you're like, what? Hold on, I got to get down there. That's me with chocolate chip pancakes, Jim. I go crazy for chocolate.
Oh, yeah. Who wouldn't? Yeah. All right. Okay, let's move on. Now that we've got that tidbit, with me, Landon, it was bacon, and my mother would make like these fried potato, like hash brown kind of things, and you smell the onion and garlic too, and that's what I would wake up to. And you ever see that cartoon, just like you said, where the smell is wafting up the stairs, and the cartoon, you know, this character smells it and just is drawn to it. That was me.
Can you believe this? These are two guys that worked out together the other night. I mean, we were getting an intense workout in, and now we're talking about is food over here.
Well, like I mentioned earlier, Landon, it's balance to your life, okay? You have to have both. You need to appreciate the workout. You need to appreciate the food also.
Yeah, for Jim, the balance is 90% eating, 10% workout.
Well... Yes.
All right, we'll get back to what the fans really came for.
All right, let's move on. We were talking about the schedule, and it's interesting, like you said, right now for the players, this is their one time off during the year where they have an extended amount of time. But let's talk about what comes next. So when is the team like due back in State College, and what happens then?
Yeah, so anytime there's a long break like this, if it's anything longer than just a couple days off, Franklin has a Sunday night team meeting. So to make sure, so guys will have workouts starting Monday, not this coming Monday. It'll be, I think, basically the last Monday of this month. But there will be a team meeting the Sunday night before to really make sure that everybody's there. They don't want people on Monday saying, hey, where are these guys at? Or guys trying to get back last second on Monday before a workout. So they just make it, hey, you got to be back Sunday night, 9 p.m. for the team meeting to make sure everybody's here, have it all situated, and then we can kind of get going into the summer. And you sit there, that initial team meeting heading into the summer, the first early enrollee, the summer early enrollees, because there's some guys that come in late May, and then there's some guys that come in June. Because if you are a high school player and you don't graduate, a lot of high schools don't even graduate until, you know, like middle of like early June. So unless your high school graduates in May, you can't come with that May group. You have to wait for the June group. So there's that first group of summer guys and then second group. So that first group will be there when we first get back at the end of May. So you kind of get to get introduced to the new guys. And then that Monday, you kind of hit the ground running where you have some workouts. The coaches aren't, it's not, you know, too hands-on. It's kind of allowing some of the players. It's really player-led workouts. There'll be some strength coaches there. The football staff won't be there at all. You get a little bit of a break from your football coach, which, you know, depending on who it is, that could be nice. But even if you love them, it's nice to get a little break, man. It's like your girlfriend or your wife every once in a while.
Oh,
yeah. Look, I don't want to be getting anybody in trouble. Hopefully my girlfriend doesn't listen to this one. I might be at the doghouse for that one, but it's
Jim, nice to get Jim a little... makes a note to self about sending that one on. Okay.
Yeah, right. So, you know, you get a little time off, and it's nice. That's kind of where they allow the older players to, and especially after a long season, now you kind of got it throughout spring ball, but it gives some of those players to develop as leaders when there's really no coaches around to lead a workout, because, hey, there's guys that will slack off. There's guys that will do other stuff. And this is where the leaders emerge and say, hey, you know, we're not doing that. And, you know, making sure you're bringing guys along. And they understand what the standard is. So it's nice time period to kind of develop that leadership and have guys understand, okay, this is, especially the freshmen, this is where the bar is set. You know, this is what it takes. And also it gives guys an opportunity to kind of set their, you know, routine, so to speak, where, you know, they start to learn, how do I get ready in the morning? How do I roll out, stretch? What does that look like? So it's a good time period for all that, because you have a lot of time and, is given to you, and resources with players and other coaches just kind of being around, but not, you don't have, you know, defined workouts that you have to be there exactly right at the beginning. You have a little bit of time to ease into it. But there is some workouts, some player-led workouts. But overall, that beginning of end of May, beginning of June is pretty easy for the guys and allows, like I said, the new guys some time to adapt and the older guys still get to kind of get back. So they're not, you know, at home, but they still have a little bit of relaxation while you're in state college.
Let's talk a little bit about what the player workouts look like. And I imagine in some ways, as important as the workouts is, and you mentioned this, it's for the leaders to establish they are the leaders, correct? Mm-hmm. Like I imagine quarterbacks throwing the wide receivers. This is an opportunity for the starting quarterback to take charge of the team and say, all right, guys, here's what we're doing. And I expect you to be there.
Yeah, there's a lot of player-led like skill work, like you just mentioned there. The cue, there's not a design time for the quarterbacks and wide receivers to get together, but you're absolutely right. That is where you kind of hope to see that initiative taken by the quarterbacks, where you're saying, hey, you're texting 5 to 8 of the wide receivers and you're saying, hey, let's go throw in Haluba if it's raining, or let's go throw outside if it's nice, and just kind of, you know, start to build that chemistry a little bit. And I think that's one of the good things about Julian Fleming being here with the wide receiver group is, you know, I've spoken about this before. Ohio State does not have in-person classes. So they get to be in the facility all day, every day. It's like an NFL team. So I know Jim's shaking his head. It's like we're over here going to class all day. It seems like we're at a little bit of a disadvantage, but I think he's going to be really good for the guys because of that kind of pro mindset where he's going in, he's catching balls, he's going in then taking care of his body, making sure he gets the right nutrition, kind of that routine that I talked about. That's something that he has and I've spoken to him about. And so it seems like it's rubbing off on some of the other wide receivers, which I think is very good. Something, he's a mature guy. So I'm kind of excited about him being in that room, bringing everybody along. But yeah, as far as how the workouts look during the week, you'll have 5 workouts Monday through Friday. And I think it's 3 lift days and then 2 running days. 1 day is a conditioning day. That's normally Wednesday or Thursday. Those are the not so fun days. It starts out, the conditioning starts out a little bit easier, but quickly turns catastrophic, so to speak. a normal lift day, you'll go in, lift for about an hour and a half. And then normally you'll get in some skill work after the lift days. And you kind of talk with your position group, hey, do we want to do it after the run, either on Tuesday or Thursday, or do we want to do it after the lifts on Monday or Wednesday? And you normally have skill position work a couple times a week, and then it's kind of on you to get even more work in on your own. But you'll do, you know, the offensive line after the Monday workout, we'll get together and do something. After the Tuesday run, maybe just everybody goes home, and then after the Wednesday lift again, you'll come back and do some more O-line specific work after that hour and a half lift for maybe 45 minutes, about an hour. And then guys get to go home. You know, it's pretty relaxed. Sometimes we'll get with the D-line and work a little bit of stuff. And same thing with the wide receivers and DBs. But that's kind of all player oriented. That is on the players. So like I said, that is where you get to see that leadership and that guys kind of taking accountability too. Because some guys will say, hey, I want to go inside. I want to go home, whatever. Hey, now it's on you. If you're a leader, you better go get them, make sure they're there, make sure they're doing the right thing, putting the right stuff in their body. So, it's a fun time for the players. It is easily the players' most favorite time, not only because it's kind of the easiest and you have a little time off, but you also get a empty state college. And if anybody's been in state college in the summer, number one, it's beautiful. I mean, you get so many sunny, like 80 degree days, blue skies, but it's just no lines. You can park downtown. No food lines. That's my favorite, Jim. When us offensive linemen are hungry, man, we don't want to wait. So, but it's definitely the best time for the guys. So if anybody's wondering, the guys are they're enjoying it. I saw a comment under the Dominican Republic trip, and it was a comment. It said, "Hey, are they working out while they're there?" That's what someone said under, you know, a picture of all the guys. And I'm like, dang, can we rest for a little bit? Like, I feel like the expectation is like, we have to be working out 24/7. This is some time to, right now in May, it's some time to relax and let the body recoup though.
One of the things I've learned this from you is like, the body does need time to recover. And, you know, we've talked about that with the spring practice and having to go through that year after year. The body does need some recovery time. I did want to ask you, though, also, as fans, we could picture the workouts with just the players, the quarterback, wide receivers, running routes. In the last minute or so we have left, what does that look like, though, for the rest of the team? Like you mentioned, the offensive line might do some work with the D-line. Just exactly what does that look like?
Yeah, so the offensive line, we'll be, you know, kind of defining that pass set, doing different drills that we have with bands, with balls, to certain things that kind of like isolate movements and just, like I said, smooth out some of those little technique issues. So we'll be doing a lot of pass sets. We have some sleds that we'll hit into in the run game and kind of work on that pad level and making sure you have good leverage against that defensive lineman. Looking over at the D-line, they do a lot of hand-fighting drills, like we talked about, something that Abdul Carter really needs to work on. You'll see them doing a lot of striking, and that's when they come off in the run game and they really try to put their hands out and press the offensive lineman off of them. They'll do that against a kind of a dummy pad. Looking over to, like, the linebackers, they'll do a lot of, like, drills where they're ripping around a bag, so kind of trying to rip around an offensive lineman and make a play. So it's position-specific, but they make sure they get some good work in.
Very good, Landon. All right, that's going to be it for quarter number two. We got lots more to talk about right after this message. We'll get to it in quarter number three.
We've had such a great response to our F45 training and state college promotion over the last couple weeks. They've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. This is still running through May 21st. For all Keystone Sports Network listeners, you're able to try out F45 training in State College for 2 weeks free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training in a group class environment. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. He's Landon. I'm Jim. We're talking Penn State football. We're talking about the schedule, what the players are doing now during the offseason. I thought something there when you were talking about, Landon, when we finished quarter number two, we were talking about some of the work the offensive linemen were doing, and you might work on, you know, like the pad level, getting low, working on the sleds. How was my pad level when we went with the sleds at the gym? Look, I would think at 5.5 foot tall, I have an advantage there.
Jim's just searching for pats on the backs out here on this fine morning. he just wants to hear how great he did. Look, Jim, you do naturally create some leverage when you're that height. And that's why we don't really like to go against those 5'10", 5'11", like little defensive tackles that are like 300 pounds. It's hard to get up under them because they have such great leverage and they're low to the ground. So you, I guess you fit up into that category, Jim, of a, I don't know what position you'd play in football, but I don't, maybe we could stick you a D tackle in there with Devon Elise and Zane Durant.
That I would be your worst nightmare there, Landon, because I'd be low enough. I'd be like at your knees. And we saw that contrast in the workout. You're 6'5", Landon? Mm,
yes.
6'5", 5'6". Just a little bit of difference there in height going on with the workout. All right, let's move on. I did want to talk to you a bit about last week. We finally had the closest thing to the mass exodus through the portal for Penn State. And it's been fascinating to me, and you and I have talked about this a bit. A lot of fans were, oh my goodness, what's going on? So many players leaving. But the fact is, this had to happen. The team was at like 96, 97 scholarship players, and they had to get it down to 85, Landon.
Yeah, Jimmy, I mean, we talked about this a couple of months ago where you said, hey, what is this like? What are the conversations like and what happens? Because you have to get under a certain number. And I told you, hey, there is that, you know, possibility or opportunity with NIL to now essentially pay for a walk-on scholarship. So he's a walk-on technically, but really you have that paid for. It is no, you're not actually a walk-on. But you can only do that with so many guys. I mean, that costs a lot of money to do. So we knew there were some essentially some cuts coming, And I thought it was going to be in the wide receiver room. That's why this really wasn't a surprise to me. I don't think we lost anybody of too much significance. And honestly, when Keandre Lambert-Smith left, I think that's something that everybody expected to happen in January. I think everybody was kind of shocked that he stayed around. And then it's like when he stayed around and then left, everybody was like offended and, oh, we're going to be awful. We're going to miss him so much. And I'm like, at the end of the day, I kind of expected this back in January. So the fact he even stayed around, I mean, was kind of a surprise. But and then looking at a couple other guys, Malik Mega and a few other wide receiver dudes, I mean, we had to shave that room down. There was like 15, 16 dudes in a wide receiver room. You can't have that many. And especially when a group where, you know, it's not necessarily a ton of, you know, studs. It's definitely one of the positions that has the biggest question mark around it. And, you know, you got to start to file out and figure out, okay, who is definitely not in the running to have an impact on this wide receiver group this year. Hey, we need to get rid of some of those guys. That's just kind of the reality of it. And that's something that you invite when you go into this NIL transfer portal world. Before this, you really didn't have to cut guys because you knew, okay, I have this many dudes coming in. We might get one guy from a portal. I mean, you might get one grad transfer. I think that was pretty normal in the pre-NIL era. Now, I mean, you see 40 guys leaving a team in one offseason. I mean, that's just kind of that's the norm now. So, number one, we had 11 guys leave, which I believe was tied for the best in the Big Ten, I think with Nebraska or someone else. So we really didn't have that many guys leave. I mean, Ohio State, Michigan, they had way more guys leave than us. And like I said, I really don't think any of the departures were that significant, truly. I think the only really big one was Keandre Lambert-Smith. And I think a lot of fans can agree. It kind of felt like his time here was up. I think after last season, after the West Virginia game, it was like, okay, we have our number one guy. And honestly, he's going to be out of here after the season. He's going to go to the draft. Well, the rest of the season did not pan out how that West Virginia game did for Keandre. And it was kind of like, okay, you know, we've been waiting on this dude to do this for a couple of years now. So we are going to have to kind of go a different direction. Let's bring in Julian Fleming. Let's, you know, Trey Wallace is ready for a breakout year if he can stay healthy. So I don't really know how much space there was for him to kind of be that wide receiver number one. But I'm happy with how it shaked out. I think we're in the best position that we can be. And like I said, I think we needed to get rid of some of that extra clutter. And, you know, I see people in the comment sections on Twitter when someone enters the portal and they say, oh, another Penn State player in the portal. And I'm like, yeah, man, that's just the reality of the situation. You wanted us to bring in AJ Harris, bring in, all these other guys. You can't just bring in all those people and not boot anybody. I mean, you have to. It's just basic numbers. If something's coming in, something has to go out. That's just the reality of it. So fans have to get used to a little more movement as far as guys leaving, really.
And Landon, this was also, you know, Penn State, I'll put it that the coaching staff was a little bit of a victim of their success. By success, I mean players decided to return for that fifth or sixth year. Mm-hmm. The defensive tackles, some were expected to move on, and they didn't. They chose to come back, and very few guys were hitting the portal. So all of a sudden, when you're trying to manage, you know, how many new recruits you're bringing in, you're thinking, well, there'll be so many guys leaving. You're trying to balance that when you really don't know. So Penn State ended up in a situation where players did have to leave. And candidly, Landon, from the outside looking in, I don't like when the fans, I know they take it personally. You know, most of our fans were Penn State alums. How dare you think that it's better somewhere else? Well, the football playing is such an important part of these young men's lives. If they're not going to get on the field here at Penn State, I kind of look at it as I'm happy for them. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that. These are your teammates who may not get on the field. Are you happy for them? Because now maybe they'll get an opportunity elsewhere that they wouldn't get at Penn State.
Yeah, we're definitely happy for our guys. And if you look at any of the comment sections of guys that have left, Keandre, Malik Mega, other guys, Golden, it's a ton of guys on the team currently saying, you know, let's go, congrats, et cetera. Because you're exactly right. We understand what this game is. And if you're in year three or year four here, and you haven't played yet, you're probably not going to play. So we're excited for guys to go somewhere else. And it's, a lot of times it's a little bit of a lesser school because you come here, hey, you don't pan out. It's a top 10 program. It is what it is. Not everybody pans out. But we want to see our guys go to another program, go to a smaller, maybe MAC team, and ball out. Because these guys, at the end of the day, it's a brotherhood. They're our brothers, and we've been through a lot with them, and we want to see everybody succeed. So we are absolutely really happy, and I hope the fans kind of take – I've seen a lot of fans. I don't think it's all the fans that are that negative. I've seen a lot of fans say, hey, congrats, good luck, et cetera. But I definitely wish we could get more of that because the players are just trying to do the best thing for themselves and their family. And it's not, you know, about them hating Penn State or anything like that. It's just a better opportunity provided for them to go start and really get some playing time, especially in a world where you're able to make some money too. I mean, that can't be overlooked. Guys on, you know, hey, I go to a MAC program and I'm one of the stars. I can make more money there than I did at Penn State, kind of being a lower level guy. So there is that thought process to it too. But I would definitely say we are really happy for our guys that go out and finding new opportunities at other programs. And when we know that the foundation that they've built at Penn State is going to serve them well at these other programs.
And you know what, Landon, most of the player movement at Penn State has been about looking to get playing time. They're, you know, as you said, they're not getting on the field. They're not getting to the point where they're part of the two deep set. Now, I think among the players, I liked how you put it with Keandre Lambert-Smith, that it seemed like his time was up here. Yeah. And I've tried to express it that, you know what, the wide receiver room had issues last year, and Lambert-Smith, I'm not putting it on him, but he was the leader of that room. Now, in essence, you've replaced Lambert-Smith with Julian Fleming. And I will hear people talk about the production from Keandre Lambert-Smith, but it almost felt like they needed a new voice in the wide receiver room as that leader.
Yeah, and that's something that I was just talking about earlier. This is a dude who has been I know a lot of fans don't want to hear it, comparing our program to Ohio State's program and calling them a little bit more NFL-like, NFL-ready, but that's the reality of the situation. I mean, that is a football factory, and we just put more credence on academics here. I think that is what you get when you come to Penn State, but you get that maturity that comes with basically being an NFL veteran. I mean, that is the way you are raised and brought up if you're in that Ohio State football program. So I just think that's really beneficial to our guys to have that leadership in the room of someone who's older, someone who's been in some big games and understands what it takes from that vantage point to get to where you want to be. So, and I think the guys are starting to kind of fall in line and say, hey, this is someone that we can run behind. We can, you know, allow Julian to lead this wide receiver group. And I think it's something that has been needed at that position. I don't think we have really had that since Jahan Dotson left. That's kind of what it felt like. So we haven't had a big time playmaker, and hopefully Julian can kind of be that guy along with Trey Wallace and a couple other dudes in the room. Kaden Saunders had a nice spring game. So I think it's coming together nicely. And I think we're going to be in a better place in the wide receiver room come this fall. And hopefully Drew Aller kind of just seemed like they were not all the way in sync. There were some games, especially the Michigan game, where it seemed like the wide receivers were not in the right place at the right time. And that's not easy for Drew to have to deal with and say, hey, I can't even really trust that my wide receivers are going to be running the correct routes at the correct depth, and understand that, you know, we're not on the same page. That can be, and that's kind of one of my defenses of Drew Aller, that he hasn't had people that he can really rely on outside of Theo Johnson and Tyler Warren in that wide receiver group. If you do not trust your wide receiver's timing, and that he's going to, you know, you have an option route. That means the wide receiver is deciding on whatever the cornerback, whatever the defense gives him, he needs to pick which route he's going to run. He has two different options. Maybe it's a post, maybe it's a corner. So he's going to run straight up, and whatever that DB gives him, he's going to decide, okay, he's giving me that inside leverage. He's on my inside. I'm going to break this out, or I'm going to break this in if he's on my outside. Drew Aller needs to be on the same page as that wide receiver. I think we're getting there.
All right. I'm looking forward to getting on the same page between the quarterback and the wide receivers, Landon. That is it for quarter three. We got one more quarter to go. Stick with us.
We've had such a great response to our F45 Training and State College promotion over the last couple weeks. They've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. This is still running through May 21st. For all Keystone Sports Network listeners, you're able to try out F45 training in State College for 2 weeks free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training in a group class environment. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four. He's Landon. I'm Jim. We're talking about Penn State football. We're talking about a bit about the portal and players leaving and what effect that's going to have on Penn State. And when we wrapped up, Landon, you were talking about an option route where a player, the wide receiver, will run his route depending on what the defensive back is doing. And both the quarterback and the receiver have to read it the same way. And I'm glad you brought that up because there was a specific play, and I wish I could remember which game it was, but it was a home game because I was there watching. And if you watch the replay, it was so obvious that the defensive back had inside position on the receiver, and he still broke in instead of out, drew through the ball outside. And I remember then watching the replay that the announcers were like, well, they're not on the same page. Well, as a layperson, I could see what the defensive back was doing. This is a situation, if you want to call it like it is, the wide receiver went the wrong way. There was zero doubt about that in my mind, Landon.
Yeah, and I mean, the frustrating part about that is I think that happened a lot last year. And then, you know, following that play 10 seconds later, the fans go, Drew, what the heck was that? What are you doing? You suck, this and that. And that's where I have a lot of quandaries with all these people blaming Drew Aller. And like I talked about, not as much in the Ohio State game, but in the Michigan game, I mean, those wide receivers had a lot of missed assignments, meaning that they ran the wrong routes. And that's that you can't work with that as a quarterback. You know, as a first year starter, a young dude, you need to have that dependability on your playmakers that, hey, they're not only going to be in the right place at the right time, but also in a quarterback's mind, if I have a Marvin Harrison Jr. type dude, not only is he going to be in the right place at the right time, but I also have that confidence in my head, hey, if I don't give him the best ball, if it's a little high, it's a little low, it's wobbly, he's going to go up and make a play anyway. So it's okay. So not only did Drew not have that, he didn't have the, hey, he can go make a play for me. He also didn't have the dependable, hey, he's going to be there exactly where I expect him to be. So you don't have either of those. It starts to get a little tricky at quarterback, and then add that in with being a first-year starter. I mean, we're not talking 60-year Sean Clifford here. This is first year, first time really getting out some truly good teams. So it's just, you know, got to start to hone that craft and get these guys. This is where you do it in the summer. You are out there pretty much every day if you're a quarterback throwing with your guys. Now you do have to take a little bit of time off because you have to worry about you know, not throwing too much with that arm, but you're out there, you're working on route timing, you're working on reading, like I said, what the defense is giving you and how you're going to react to it. So that's a lot of stuff that Drew and these wide receivers are getting into. And like we said, I think Julian Fleming is a great influence. I think a lot of people, and I'll just be honest, a lot of people didn't like him. He went to Ohio State. He kind of played with Penn State. I didn't either. I didn't know the guy. But it's just, it kind of rubbed me the wrong way. He gets here. I actually end up sitting down with him at Texas Roadhouse. A bunch of guys were out. And I'm talking to him. He's just chatting it up with me. I'm like, this dude is the nicest guy ever. And I was pleasantly surprised. I've hung out with him a couple times since. Great guy. I think someone that's a team leader and is a culture driver, really. So I'm excited about him being here at this program and helping these wide receivers out.
Well, that's the unfortunate part about the whole recruiting process. When you have a guy ranked as highly as he was coming out of high school. He had been to Penn State campus so many times. He's from down the road from where I'm at. Mm. I live in Columbia County. He went to Southern Columbia. And, you know, so there's so much conversation about him that when he goes elsewhere, not just elsewhere, but to Ohio State, that fan reaction is just so critical of the player. But what I've seen, it's interesting to me, when you listen to James Franklin in a press conference, just really, really pay attention to the words that he uses. And I think he could learn an awful lot. And it was fascinating to me. He used the word mature pretty much every single time he talked about Julian Fleming. Mm-hmm. And I always wondered if he was talking more about Julian Fleming or more about what the wide receiver room was lacking prior.
I agree with you, Jeff. I mean, I think it's both, honestly. I do think that the wide receiver room just, you know, had to grow up a little bit. I think we had some people in there that were not, you know, up to the standard that, you know, the bar was set by certain guys, by Jahan, by Parker Washington, and it really hasn't lived up to that the past year or two. So I think we've missed that big-time playmaker, but also that voice in the room that can speak up. And not only, you know, it's a lot easier when you're a voice and you're good. It's not as easy to speak up and people follow you and you go out there and you have zero catches. So, you know, when you're blessed players or your leaders, it's exciting because you know guys are going to fall in line and follow them. So I think that's something that we're getting out of Julian Fleming. Didn't get the best look at him in the spring game. I mean, he was on the other team. It was clear that the white team was the ones and then the blues team was kind of the twos and threes. So he was on the lesser team and didn't get as many good looks. But someone I'm excited about can play in the slot, can play outside, can kind of do everything. So I'm definitely going to add a big boost to this wide receiver group, whether it's, you know, on the field, but also in that wide receiver room as far as culturally.
I want to shift gears a little bit to the one guy that I think many of us fans were disappointed to lose among the whole group. Going to the defensive side was King Mack, who we saw as having a lot of potential. But that safety room is so loaded. But I would still think they're going to play three of them a lot, that he would be next in line, but still chose to move on. As a former player, how do you look at the loss of King Mack?
Yeah, I think King Mack headed into his second year, and he really flashed just hearing it from the coaches, and they were really excited about him. I think coming in as that fourth guy, I think he would have saw a lot of work, but I obviously this was not one of those scenarios where they told him to hit the road. I think this was more him wanting to leave versus, you know, like I said, some of these other guys where they kind of told him they had to leave. This was obviously not that. I think King Mack said, hey, I want to go kind of search for an opportunity elsewhere. And we saw your boy Chris Buchanan put out a tweet talking about we do not retain, not just retain. I mean, they leave a lot, but these Florida players were getting outside. I'm trying to think. I mean, Zane Durant is probably the one that has worked out the best. Cam Miller, too, I'd say. But in recent years, our Florida guys haven't been the best. And, you know, I think part of that is kind of homesickness. I mean, some guys want to go back. I saw him take King Mack was going to take a trip to Alabama. Personally, me, I'm from up here in Maryland. I did not want to go down to Florida or even think about going to West Coast. But that's a real thing. Guys, they get away from home and they are basically on the, you know, it's still on the East Coast, but opposite side of the East Coast. And it's like, I want to get a little bit closer to home. I want it to be easy to get. I don't think fans sometimes realize how big of a role proximity to home plays, because you just start to get tired of being, you know, a 3-hour flight away from home or a 20-hour drive. I mean, it's just not easy to be away from family like that when you're an 18-year-old college kid. So I think that could be part of what plays into that, not only with King Mack, but with a lot of Florida guys leaving. But, you know, it's one of those things you just lose. You're going to lose some people. And when you have a stud safety room, that's someone he knew he wasn't going to get a ton of playing time this year. So sad to see him go.
Well, just because I had Chris on our show then to talk about it, and he actually went through the numbers, and the conclusion wasn't so much, okay, you know, the Florida guys, but there is a difference between the local guys, like the Pennsylvania players versus, or the regional players like DMV, like yourself, versus the players that are far away, whether it's Florida or anywhere else. But the biggest variable, looking at the list, and if you haven't seen it, I'll have to send it to you. Chris made a chart of every Florida player during the James Franklin era. And the variable wasn't so much that they were Florida players, but you could look, other than King Mack, there really wasn't a Florida player who left that you went, doggone it, I wish he would have stuck around. But the good players, you know, like a Zane Durant, they have stuck around. Now, King Mack may be turned into the exception to that rule, but it kind of leads into, Landon, you know, the whole conversation with the portal. You and I were looking at the list we saw from the Big Ten and the portal exits from different teams. There were Michigan State had 48 players enter the portal, Landon. Indiana had 44. This is more than half the number of scholarship players. Now, those teams had coaching changes as part of that. But the numbers are incredible.
Yeah, that's why I kind of laugh when our fans get upset and they're saying, oh, another one leaving. And I'm like, dude, we're looking at the list right here. We have 11 guys that have left. Northwestern is the only other team with 11. Everybody else has way more than that. I mean, Michigan, 21 guys have left. Ohio State, 28 guys have left. 28 guys have left, and Ohio State didn't even have a coaching change. So that's, I mean, that's just the – and that's kind of – they brought in a lot of new guys too. And like I said, that is the reality of it. You bring in a lot of guys, and Ohio State, we saw, spent whatever, $34 million on fielding their coaches and players for this year's roster. You bring in those big time guys and you're getting as many guys out of the portal. Well, now you're kicking guys out. That's the reality of college football. Like I said earlier, when we kind of accepted, hey, we're in this NIL era, there's a little bit, it's not all positive for the players. There's going to be a little bit of blowback. Part of that blow is, hey, we have now the ability to basically tell you to get out. We're going to be able to tell you to leave. That was not a reality before NIL. If a player wasn't panning out and they were headed into year four and they weren't really going to do anything, pre-NIL era, you kind of just let them hang out. You just let them kind of do their thing. You're not going to just boot them out. Now, hey, dude, we're bringing in, your D tackle that hasn't panned out. It's year four. You're going to have to hit the road because we're bringing in someone from Florida or Missouri or somewhere else that's going to ball out for us. And that's just the reality of the situation.
Well, just my final word on the whole thing with it, Landon, and even tying in the whole Ohio State is a football factory versus Penn State. They had 28 players exit, but they were bringing in 22 new players. And I think a lot of players get lost in this shuffle. There's a good number of players who end up going into the portal and never come out. We never see them get another opportunity, and that's unfortunate. And my last note will be, you know, at Ohio State, it's all about getting the player to the NFL. Well, guess what? The majority of players do not make it to the NFL. I like the Penn State model where you still get yourself an academic background. All right, Landon, that's going to be the final word. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
We've had such a great response to our F45 Training and State College promotion over the last couple weeks. They've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. This is still running through May 21st. For all Keystone Sports Network listeners, you're able to try out F45 training in State College for 2 weeks free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training in a group class environment. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer.